Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, your kindness, your loving kindness. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending him here to die in our place, to take upon himself our sins, so that we can have this opportunity, God, to be in your presence. We know sin can't reside in your presence. So thank you for Jesus taking it away from us. Thank you for Apostle Thompson and this vision of this school. Thank you for every student, Father. Thank you for every student that's here present in Darrell. Thank you for our satellite campus in Orlando, Florida. Father, thank you for every student that's watching online. Father, may they see results from the sacrifices that they are making. Father, thank you for the other instructors tonight. Father, may they rest on your anointing and your wisdom. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us properly into the supernatural. So Holy Spirit, we yield to you. God, thank you for all that you're going to do in these classes tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we were together, I began to talk about how we have to transition from having a self-centric view of the gospel to a God-centric view of the gospel. And just to do a quick review, what that means. That means that now we must realize that after we get born again, it's no longer about us. It's about him. So now we have to begin to look at the scriptures through an apostolic view. Listen to that, through an apostolic view, not an individualistic view. Yeah. So certain scriptures that we thought applied just to us really wasn't talking just to us, but talking to everyone as a body. So we begin to redefine faith, because faith, as we've been taught, the only thing we knew faith was good for and useful for was to get what we needed. But now we're starting to understand that faith is more important than just getting what we need. Faith can produce what we need, but the original purpose of faith is not to get just what we need. The original purpose of faith is to fulfill the dreams of God. We proved that in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, first verse, and using the sixth verse. So then we moved on to Romans 10:17. That's where we begin tonight. Romans 10:17. I'll wrap this up, and then we'll actually get into the book. And then you'll understand why I did what I did, why I took a class, probably a class and a half, to almost redefine faith for you. Now, you really can't do it in one class. You got to hear this over and over again, because sometimes it jolts our tradition. It jolts our religion. We thought faith was taking the word of God, confessing it to God until God heard us and then give us what we want. Am I right? But once again, we find out that faith brings from an invisible world to a visible world some plans, some dreams, some future goals. So, other words, we are the hands, the eyes, the legs, the heartbeat of God in earth realm. That's why we're called the body of Christ. Does that make sense? It's irrelevant to have a body that can't do nothing. And the body of Christ has been in a paralytic state. Why? Because we haven't been really doing what God has called us to do. We've been trying. We've been making great efforts. There's nothing wrong with efforts, but effort without results is a waste of time. Is that making sense? So Romans, the 10th chapter, that's where we begin tonight. Because now that we understand that faith is to bring the dreams of God to pass, then we have to go and start looking at Romans 10:17, and it says how faith comes. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, one thing that you're going to have to become as a Bible student is, and you're going to have to embrace the thoughts of other Christians. Because God is not just talking to us, or God is not just talking to you. God is talking to a lot of people. And watch this. All right. Go to Romans, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to show you something that a lot of us don't realize about God, that God really asks us to do. Romans, the 12th chapter. Then we'll come back to Romans, the 10th chapter. Jump two chapters over. Because there's one particular word I want to jump out at you so you'll recognize what I'm talking about. In Romans, the 12th chapter and the second verse, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now watch this statement. "That ye may prove." Prove. Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Another word that we can replace with the word prove is recognize. So here it is. The Apostle Paul, listen to me, internet. The Apostle Paul is telling us that we are to renew our minds with the word of God. Now watch this. Here's where the logos is effective. Because in this, it's talking about this word here, that we should renew our minds with the word of God, is talking about the logos, the written word of God. So that we can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in other words, when we have the word of God, the logos in our hearts, that means we can easily recognize when God is talking to us. Is that making sense? So now when we go back to Romans 10:17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So my point for bringing you to Romans, the 12th chapter, and talking about the word prove, is that we have to learn to recognize sometimes revelation. Sometimes we have to learn to recognize when something is illuminated to us. So my point for saying it is, you have to really become a student of the word of God. There are men and women of God that have come before us that have done in-depth study. Because one of the mistakes that we as Americans do, I'm going to talk about us Americans, because we have come so far so quick, we think the world began with us. We think the world began with us. But the problem we have is we try to take our Western Hemisphere thought process and try to apply it to Eastern Hemisphere written Bible. So there are some concepts that are prevalent and dominant in the Eastern Hemisphere, meaning Europe, Africa, that side of the world, compared to us. We're on the Western Hemisphere. We're on the Western side of the globe, meaning North America, Central America, South America. We have to realize that the Bible was written in the Eastern Hemisphere. So the culture was different. Thought patterns were different. So this is why we don't really understand what covenant is, because we try to understand it from a Western culture thought process. So when you start seeing, you have to learn to become, my point is you had to become a student of the word, meaning now you got to start going back to the original text. Now, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew originally. We know this. I'm just going over this so you understand how you need to study the word of God. Then the New Testament was written in what? Anybody knows? Greek. All right. So now when we read the Bible, sometimes we don't quite understand what's going on. So the first thing you do is you have to go back to the original text. That's why you need to have a King James Bible with the Strong Concordance, so that you can really start seeing what some words mean. Because as I proved to you, there's some place you're going to see word, some place you're going to say logos, some place you're going to say rhema. That makes a big difference. Because if we just read the Bible without Western Hemisphere thinking, we'll read over scriptures. And when we read over scriptures, we'll apply the same definition to one word. When we see word again, we apply the same definition. Well, that's not the case. But that's the problem we have, Romans 10:17. Because we think in that Romans 10:17 is talking about logos. And it's not. it's talking about rhema. All right? If you look, the original text in Greek, you'll see the word rhema. Rhema simply means a live word from God. Just as I'm talking to you now, that's how a rhema is from God, a live word from Him. Another way to express rhema is revelation. All right? Something that has now become alive to you. Now you understand something that you didn't understand before. Now you have enlightenment on a situation in which you didn't have before. That's rhema. That's revelation. So here it is. It says, so then faith. You seeing this? So then faith, or watch this, my part of the assignment, comes by hearing, and hearing a live word from God. All right, go back to Hebrews 11th chapter. I'm going to very quickly make that connection and let it make sense to you. Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews 11th chapter is also known as the Hall of Faith, correct? Look at verse 7. And we're gonna plug in our words, all right, so it'll make sense to us. Verse 7, by assignment, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by his assignment. All right, now let's break this down. Here's one of the things that one of the things that we have to get over as Christians. We have to define what is spiritual. Spiritual is not a robotic form of looking like you love God. You know what I'm saying? We see some people pray all the time. We see some people worship all the time. We see people run sometime all the time in church. They dance. And when you speak to them, they have a righteous talk. And we say, hey, that person is spiritual. Right? So let's redefine what spiritual is. It's very simple. Anything God tells you to do, it becomes spiritual. So when you begin to obey God, that's when you become spiritual. Are you seeing this? So here it is, Noah. It says, by assignment, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Key word, prepared an ark. Now, for lack of time, we don't have to go back there, but all of us have read the story of Noah and the ark. And if you go back, you would see that God was very specific. Very specific with Noah on how to build the ark. How tall to build it. How long to build it. What wood to use. Right? Then he said, then he gave instructions on who to bring in to the ark. But the 11th chapter in this 7th verse says by assignment. So we can easily say that it was directions from God that caused him to inherit righteousness. That's what the Bible says. So having faith is more than just believing. Having faith is also having instructions. And what the believing do? The believing is, I trust who gave me these instructions. I have confidence in the person who gave me these instructions. And I trust them enough to go and do them. So now, and watch this, because I heard the instructions, because I believed who sent the instructions, and because I trust in who sent the instructions, then I know I'm going to be empowered to do the instructions. When I do the instructions, that's when the reward comes. Are you seeing this? So it's a whole, so it's a lot that was left out from faith can get you what you want. Faith will produce what you want, but it's a whole thing in between that we left out. That is not about us. It's about him. If we seek first, right? He would do what? Add all these things to us. So we understand that our number one objective is to get God's heart on our situation, to get God's heart on our lives, to get God's heart on whatever direction that we're going in. Are you seeing this? Now, watch this. Faith comes, watch this, from the Word of God, but the Bible never said that God will speak directly to you all the time. So this is why Romans 12:2 is important, that you have to renew your mind with the Word of God so that you can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Real quick, go to John the 10th chapter. I think it's John the 10th chapter. Yeah, John the 10th chapter. Because now it leads to the issue of hearing the voice of God. Now it goes to him. People say, how do I know it was God talking to me? How do I know when I hear God's voice? How do I know? I think I heard that. How I know is that if that's from God or not? We have to refer back to Romans 12:2. Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind so that ye may be able to prove, all right? What's another word for prove? Recognize, listen a minute, recognize the good and acceptable will of God, right? So now when it comes to hearing the voice of God, it has nothing to do with decibels. It has nothing to do with the measurement of sound. It has nothing to do with it can't be confined to if I really hear something. Because watch this, if God got to come to you all the time in an audible voice, guess what? He's no longer in control. Who's in control? I am. Because God, the only way I'm going to hear you is you got to come in an audible voice. So now it's not God, it's not us following him, it's him. There are a multitude of channels through which God can talk to you. That's why Romans 12:2 is so important. So that you can recognize. Is that making sense? Now, here's a promise that Jesus gave us. This is a promise. Now, in this promise, the scripture we're getting ready to read, John, the 10th chapter, I think it's 27th verse. The scripture we're getting ready to read is that's why you have to become a student of the word to see why Jesus used this particular animal. Watch what it says. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's a promise. He didn't say my sheep may hear my voice. He didn't say my sheep might hear my voice. He said my sheep hear my voice. Now, you have to deal with the word sheep. So now you got to understand Jesus, once again, Eastern Hemisphere, Eastern culture, they were a bunch of shepherds. And here's what would happen. A shepherd, when he was building his herd of sheep, would sleep with the sheep outside all night. Stay with the sheep a long period of time until the sheep began to recognize his voice. Are you seeing this? And so now when the shepherd would speak, he would give commands and the sheep would hear it and follow the commands and follow the voice. So the shepherd would just simply walk and he'll have a shepherd's hook to every now and then you got one that's kind of, you know, don't hear, you got to hook them back. Come on, we're going this way. But the majority of them would hear and they would know, recognize the voice and follow the voice. Then Jesus went on to say, a voice of a stranger. Now, why would the sheep not follow the voice of a stranger? Because they didn't recognize the voice. Because that voice wasn't the one that had been with them. Hearing the voice of God is more about relationship and fellowship than sound. Listen to me, that hearing the voice of God is more about relationship and fellowship than it is sound. Sound is secondary. Because God will talk to you sometimes in an audible voice. But even when God talks to you in an audible voice, you still have to be able to recognize. Because Satan has an audible voice. If Satan didn't have an audible voice, then how could Jesus talk to him when he was trying to tempt him? Are y'all seeing this? So now watch this. Watch this. The way I become proficient in hearing the voice of God is spending time with what he has said. See, when I spend time with what he has said, then it'd be easier for me to recognize what he is saying. That's why we have to renew our minds with the word of God so that we can recognize. I give this prime example. I'm gonna tell everybody, and look, I'm gonna tell you what chapter we're gonna be on the next week. And some of you gonna read it, and some of you won't. Now I'm gonna tell you the difference. Those that have read it, you might not understand all what the chapter is saying, and may not be able to grab all the chapter is saying, but when I come back and I begin to cover that particular chapter and begin to explain it, you will grab it quicker than somebody who had no clue as to what I'm talking about. See, sometimes God has been talking to us all alone. But because we haven't spent time with what he has said, we can't recognize when he is talking and what he is saying. Is that making sense? See, this is imperative because Noah had to know and understand and be able to recognize the voice of God. Because if he couldn't understand the voice of God, he would have never got those instructions. He'd never know how wide, how long, how tall, what kind of wood to use. If Abraham had not recognized the voice of God, then he would have killed Isaac. Right. Is this making sense? So hearing the voice of God is imperative. Knowing how to recognize and hear the voice of God is imperative. See, hearing the voice of God is more about relationship and fellowship than it is sound. So, having said that, you can be in a movie theater watching a movie. And a line can come up in the movie. And for some reason, that line jump out at you and give you your answer. Yep. Yep. Don't nobody else know what's going on around you. Everybody else just, ooh, this is a good movie. And you walking out like, man, I got a revelation. God done spoke to me. You could be in a conversation with him. You could be in a conversation with somebody. And they just talking. And all of a sudden, they make a statement or say something or give you an idea. They don't even know what they're giving you. They're just having a general conversation with you saying, but the Holy Spirit saying, they say, listen, this is what I want you to do. Now what happens is, that don't mean you go around looking, who somebody got a word for me? Somebody got a word for me? Somebody got a word for me? No, that ain't what I'm saying. The Bible says that you be able to recognize the good and acceptable and will of God. Are you seeing this?
Yes,
so now when it comes to, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God or live words from God. That means that we're going to have to be proficient in hearing God. If I want to be proficient in hearing God, that means I'm going to have to learn how to recognize God. And if I want to be able to become good at recognizing God, that means I got to spend time with him when ain't nothing going on. Let me tell you something now. People want to know why sometimes people don't get their, why Christians sometimes look like they lose a battle. It's because they probably waited to the battle to start talking to God. And it's not that God wasn't talking to them. It's just they wasn't able to recognize the instructions on how to battle this thing. See, this is why we have to constantly, I don't let a day go by. I don't spend time with God. I don't know how Christians go 3 and 4 months. They only pick up their Bible on Sunday. You know, they fill with the Holy Spirit. They may pray 5 minutes on a Monday. But praying in the Spirit is almost like a marathon. You're not gonna run 26 miles on day one. But on day one, you can run a quarter of a mile. Day two, you might run a quarter of a mile and one more step. So if you're praying in the Spirit and you're going to pray, your concentration is only 5 minutes, the next day set 6 minutes. You have to begin to spend time with God. You say, well, I can't read. You know, I read chapters, but I read chapters looking for verses that jump out. See, once again, spiritual, what we like to call spiritual, and what really is spiritual. You ain't spiritual because you read a chapter.
Right, that's right.
I know people read chapters all the time and ain't remember nothing they read.
Right.
So what good is that? But what happens when you read a chapter and you get maybe 5 verses in and verse 5 jump out at you? Well, that scripture jumped out at you on purpose. Now you got to focus on this particular verse, because that means God wants to talk to you out of this verse. There are times when you're going to be reading the word of God and something just jump out at you. When it jump out at you, that's the Holy Spirit just spiritually highlighted that scripture. That means stay right there. Ask me some questions about this scripture. See, I'm talking about the nuts and bolts of studying the word of God, the nuts and bolts of spending time with God. Not just the formality of spending time with God. I'm talking about the nuts and bolts. If you want to know something, you ask questions. Holy Spirit, what you mean when you say this? Holy Spirit, what Paul was saying when he made this statement? Holy Spirit, why did Jesus say this? Holy Spirit, why God made this happen? Then God will begin to see that you are interested in his way of thinking. And he'll begin to talk to you. See, the word of God has a shell on it. It's almost like a pecan. You can't get to the fruit until you what?
Crack it.
You know why? Because you have to show some initiative. You have to show some desire. Let me show you why. Matthew 7:7. Matthew 7:6. What it say? That's Jesus talking, right? Jesus was talking to his disciples about something he was already doing. Something that God already is doing. God is not going to give you revelation if you ain't plan on doing nothing with it. He ain't going to give it to you. Why waste his time? God ain't going to give you, listen to me, God ain't going to give you no revelation if you're not, he ain't going to give you no instructions if you ain't plan on doing it. Why? Y'all know we got friends, you know you got family members, you know you got somebody. Ain't no sense you telling them. You know they're unreliable. You know they're not going to do it. So you in your mind like, but I ain't bothering with them. You are not casting your pearls to that swine. So the word of God is not surface. The word of God has to be dug into. You're not going to get God's treasured, holy instructions just because you showed the church on Sundays. Just because you showed the church on Sunday don't mean you're going to get it. God wants to know, are you going to be there Monday? Am I going to talk to you Monday? Am I going to talk to you Tuesday? Am I going to talk to you Wednesday? Or am I the next time I'm going to hear anything from you going to be next Sunday? So God said, I know you can't be trusted. So why I can't be trusted? Because you can't hear my, you don't know me. You can't hear my voice. Why you can't hear my voice? Because you ain't spending time with me to find out how I talk. You're not spending no time with me to even know what I'm even capable of saying. This is why people get thrown off by prophecy so much. It's why people get thrown off by people prophesying and all that stuff. All that. Listen, there's a familiar spirit that is wrecking the body of Christ. Wrecking the body of Christ. Because these familiar spirits will say one or two things that you, oh, I know they know that. Okay, you know my address. I know my address. Okay, you see, okay, somebody on TV got a red dress. Somebody probably do. Are you saying this? So people try to, and prophecy, watch this. When people try to use prophecy like that, it takes away the desire, the initiative, the wanting to know God. Because if I can get it that quick, why I got to go spend time with him? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. So my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Rhema word of God. So if I'm not getting Rhema, then I'm not getting faith. Right? If I'm not getting faith, that means I'm going to be sitting idle. Because faith is me doing what God has instructed me to do. So watch this now. Watch this. If I don't have instructions from God on how to operate and how to do things in my life, then how can I seek him? How can I seek first his ways of doing things? If I don't know him, I can't do it. So I have to get in the mold of spending time with him on a consistent basis so that I can be familiar with him. The only way that you're going to get familiar with anybody is you got to spend time with them. God is the same way. God is the same way. And guess what? Even though he know what you probably going to do, give him a chance to change that what you going to do. That's why we spend time with him. So Isaiah 1:19, we love that one. If ye be willing and obedient, I'm had to go long on this. If you be willing and obedient, you can do what? Eat the good of the land. But we don't read verse 18. Come, let us reason together. Let's put our minds together. Other words, take my thoughts, put them with your thoughts, and let your thoughts match up to mine. And whatever your thoughts got to change, change them so they can match to mine. Once we reason together, then I can give you instructions on what to be willing to and what to be obedient to. Are you seeing this? If you're not willing to spend time with God, let me add this. Spend time with God. Go to Matthew 6 chapter. Go to 6th chapter. Jesus can say it better than I can. I'm going to say what I got to say after Jesus say what he got to say. Now people want to get this scripture and they like to cherry pick scriptures. And so I'm going to tell you what's going, how this is going to play out. Who ever seen the movie Sherlock Holmes? The last one, the new one, the last few he did. My favorite part in that particular movie is when he's getting ready to fight somebody. In his mind, he plays out how this is going to happen. Right. And so he said, hit shoulder. I counteract with this. And he does that. That's my favorite part of the movie. OK, let me tell you how you what's about to happen right now, what you about to do. I know this because of our religious background, because I think let me tell you how this is about to go down. I'm about to read verse 8 to you. All right, I'm gonna read verse 8 to you. All right, because the key words in here, be not therefore like unto them, for your father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. So some of y'all gonna go to all your ask scriptures. And you're gonna say, well, what about these ask scriptures in the Bible where it says asking it shall be given? You know, ask anything in my name and I will give it to you. And then I'm gonna have to counteract you by going to all those ask scriptures and put them in context. You got me? That's how this is about to play out. All right. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your heavenly Father knows what things ye have need of before you ask him. So Jesus saying, when you go to God after this manner. Now let's read this. Therefore pray ye. This is how you ought to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Not one time did you see in how Jesus tells us to approach God that you had heard him say anything about anything personally. So now, if I want to spend time with God, I'm going to God not with my prayer request, not with my list. I'm going to God and say, God, what do you want? God, what do you want to talk about today? God, what do you want me to pray about today? Right? Because watch this. I'm very leery of meeting somebody, and as soon as they meet me, they want something. Y'all don't believe, I face that all the time in the church. I'm not talking about people asking for money, I'm talking about preachers. They want something. I don't know you. What you really want? That's how God is with some of us. What you really want? You ain't really up here to talk about me. You ain't really up here for me. What you really want? Jesus, not one time, if you go back and look up the word ask and you research every scripture of the word ask, every time you see the word ask, it's pertaining to God, you asking God for his wisdom about what he wants. Go. I want you to go run reference all your ask scriptures. Because if those ask scriptures meant you going to ask for personal items to God, then there will be no need for Matthew 6:33. He should have just went on and said, ask for what you want personally, and I give it to you. It'll be no need for Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. It'll be no need for that scripture. It'll be no need for Joshua 1:8. It'll be no need for Psalms 1. Are you seeing this? So we have to make this transition from, listen to me now, we have to make this transition from a self-centric gospel to a God-centric gospel. None of those old patriarchs, watch this, they didn't ask for anything personal. Go back and research it. They, everything, if it was, Watch this. I got a prime example for you. Abraham asked for a son, right? It seemed like it was personal, right? But why did he ask for a son? Because God had endowed him with such a great endeavor to accomplish that he didn't want to leave it to a servant, Eliezer. Somebody he couldn't trust to carry out the will of God. So that's why he asked for a son. So everything these old patriarchs asked for was, watch this, was what to ask for was the tools it took to complete their assignment. Because if I can complete my assignment, all these things going to be added to me. Is this making sense? So we shift because there's a lot of sacrifice that has to be made if you're going to walk in apostolic. Now, the sacrifices that you have to make are not going to, they're going to be sacrifices because we have been conditioned to think one way in the body of Christ. There's never, if we were back in the Old Testament days, it would seem like sacrifices to us. But today it seems like sacrifices because we've been accustomed to having a self-centric gospel rather than a God-centric gospel. So sometimes you're going to have to make decisions about your time. Let me close with this. You know how people, I'm trying to get you to shift from a self-centric gospel to a God-centric gospel, all right? We like to order things, put things in order of precedent. We like to God first, you know, family second, church third, you know, job fourth. We like to order things so we can try to prioritize, right? Let me tell you something. Did God give you a job? Yes. Did God give you your family? Yes. Did God give you your church? Yes. And you know God gave you himself. So when you shift from a self-centric gospel, self-centric meaning centered, to a God-centered gospel where everything is about him, that means God becomes the center and everything else revolves around him. So now when everything revolves around him, that means God can help you orchestrate harmony amongst everything. So there'll be no conflicts, no interruptions. If God asks you to do something and it looked like a conflict with something else, God will make rearrangements on what you're missing so that you don't miss it. Are y'all seeing this? As compared to when we in a self-centric, that's when you got to prioritize. This first, this second, this third. So now when you make a decision, you got to go, okay, that's first, this second, this third, this fourth. But when you have a God-centric gospel, when you have a God-centric life, God is in the center. And everything revolves around him. My family revolves around God. He gave them to me. My job revolves around God. He gave it to me. My church revolves around God. He placed me there. So therefore, you don't have to become burdened with choices. Because when God is the center, he's going to help you orchestrate everything that's around. Matter of fact, it's a setup. Because when God becomes the center, you actually putting all your focus on him. So now the stuff that you were trying to organize, the stuff you were trying to prioritize, the stuff that you were trying to make work in harmony, now God puts his hand on it and everything falls in place. Matthew 11, 27, 28, take my yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. So now God ain't going to tell us, Jesus ain't going to tell us take up his yoke with him without him taking on ours. It's just making sense. Moving from self-centric gospel to, now this ain't, you're not going to be popular doing this. You know why? Because now when you go to God-centered, a God-centric lifestyle, then it's going to cause you to do things out of the norm. Things you're going to start serving differently. And when you start serving differently, it's going to put pressure on your on the person next to you. Because then this is what they're going to tell you. You ain't got to do all that. All that ain't necessary. All that ain't. Thank you, ma'am. All that ain't. It ain't necessary. You ain't got to do all that. It ain't that serious. Yes, it is. Just you do realize that they heckled Noah, right? Because Noah said, y'all, it's going to rain. Now, they had never seen rain before. Noah said, it's going to rain. Them guys were laughing at him and saying, rain? What is rain? Ha, 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 ha. Laughing and laughing. But Noah kept on trucking, kept on doing what he's doing, kept on building, kept on doing the guy. He got all the stuff in. And Noah was trying to figure out he's going to shut the door. God said, don't worry about it, shut the door. I'm going to shut the door. Shut the door, and next door, here come the rain. So now who laughing now? You see? So you're not going to be popular. But I can't tell you what you will be. Blessed beyond measure. How you think Noah felt when he opened that door? How you think he felt when he opened that door and realized that he glad he obeyed God's instructions? Amen. I mean, you open that, you look out the top of that ark and all you see is water, and you floating. Everything has been washed away. The apostolic. You know what the ark was? The ark was just a precursor to the apostolic, the ark. This world is getting darker, people. This world is getting darker. And it's nothing to be afraid of, because the Bible talked about it. But the Bible kept giving us titles and shadows, types and shadows all over the Bible. In Egypt, when the children of Israel was in slavery, darkness hit Egypt. But the Bible says there was light in Goshen. So all I'm trying to get you to see is how we have to make the shift from taking the focus off of your problems, taking the focus off your issues, taking the focus off your situations. Put them on God. God, what? Instead of you saying, God, I need you to fix this for me. God, I need you to do this for me. Why not tomorrow you go to God and say, God, it is what it is. God, I want to talk to you. What you had on your mind today? God, how can I love on you today? God, what can I do for you today? God, what you want to talk about today? It's not about God. I'm not here for me, God. Now, at first, you're going to be there for you. At first, you will. I mean, that's what we used to. Don't become condemned. Say, God, look, I'm here for you. God created us. He understands us. He knows where we are. God will meet you where you are. He understands. So you go to God, and you go to God as genuine as you can. And when you begin to experience his love, you begin to experience. See, it's one thing to experience God in a corporate body when we at church. It's easy to sense God there because that's when we come to focus. But it's another thing when you by yourself and you know God is wrapping his arms around you. You know the Holy Spirit is there just to talk to you. You know Jesus is sitting there interceding just for you. You are the apple of his eye. You are the center of his attention. There's nothing like it. Then all of a sudden God starts giving you secrets. He starts giving you things that other people don't know. He starts giving you insight how to deal with your crazy boss. He starts giving you insight how to deal with your crazy kinfolk. He start giving you how to deal with the friends that you love them, but sometimes you hate them. He start giving you insight on how to deal with these people. And then he gives you insight on how you could become better. How he begins to mold you and to shape you. But God can't mold you if you're not there. He can't shape you if you're not there. See, shaping don't take place on Sunday mornings. It don't take place on Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings is supposed to be a time when we come get clarity on the direction that the apostolic house is going. When God shapes you is your personal time with him. In your most intimate moments with him, that's when he begins to shape you and he begins to mold you. Sunday morning, we come here on Sunday morning, like this past Sunday. We come here to do business. They got people hurting all over the world. And they came in Sunday, an apostle began to minister, and people stayed because we are, watch this, we are an apostolic house. We in this together. Usually it'll be everybody dispersed and going on their own. They're going to eat their Sunday lunch. He anointed enough. Pastor, apostle anointed enough. He can handle it by himself. But there's a difference when we become God-centric. And now we as the body of Christ begin to carry a corporate anointing, which brings the glory in. So God can do everything he wants to do. He can do all that he is, and he can bring all that he wants to bring. Is that making sense? So we have to make this shift. I keep repeating myself, but this is important. Have to make the shift from self-centered gospel to a God-centered gospel. I can't come to church on Sunday morning trying to get my word. I'm coming to get God's heart. So there's a difference. I can't just be praying for my needs. Prayer is actually, very plainly, me talking to God. So that means if I'm doing all the talking, you ever been in somebody with just, you're supposed to be in a conversation, but it's supposed to be a dialogue. D-I mean die, too. But it becomes a monologue, single, one person, just them talking. You get tired of talking to them. That's how God gets with some of us. God get tired of hearing us talk sometimes. If you, he should have put in Isaiah 119, if you shut up and listen, you eat the good of the land. If you just shut up and listen, you eat the good of the land. Just shut up and listen. I might have a few things. I might know the answer to that situation. I might know how to get you out of that. But it changes when you change from a self-centric to a God-centric. God, I'm here for you. God, I'm spending this morning time. I'm not asking for nothing. I'm asking for your wisdom. I'm asking for your leadership. I'm asking for your guidance. I'm asking for your insight. What are you thinking, God? What's on your mind? How do you see this happening? How do you see this working out? God, show me the heart of a pastor so I can see. Show me what his heart is, God. Show me what direction we're going in, God, so I can be ready to move. I can be ready to make the shift. God, what is this all about? What was apostle talking about? What was pastor talking about? What was elder talking about? What were they talking about so I can understand it clearly, God? Give me clarity on this. Instead of wasting God's time by asking about stuff you already know you need. Are we clear on this? Next week, next Monday, we will be in chapter 1 for sure. I promise you. All right. I promise you. Anybody read chapter 1 yet? Do you see how I start talking about church unusual? Yeah. How all these wonderful things start happening because it was not about the individual. It's about the church. It's about us reaching out. It's about us being who we are designed to be so that we can attract other people to us. Are you seeing this? I see y'all next week.